today on The Travel Guys.
In the travel news, looks like passenger air service may be returning to Chico sometime in 2025. And the airline exec who was the first to say no smoking on his planes has died. Those stories and more next in the travel news.
There's a variety of new rules to protect airline passengers and mandate refunds for flights and baggage delays. We'll update you in our Smarter Traveler portion of the show at 11:25.
It was a bad week for airlines. A Senate bill to regulate loyalty programs popped up. Plus, the Department of Transportation has launched an investigation into competition, airfares, and a host of things the airlines do not want to discuss. We will discuss them, however, at 11:35.
Our odds and ends segment at 11:50 features some humorous advice for flight attendant wannabes and the discovery that one group of travelers is exploding in numbers. What might that be?
Lots of information. Lots of information to make you a smarter traveler and a couple of things to make you smile. Thanks for joining us on The Travel Guys.
Hey there, everyone. Welcome to another edition of The Travel and Entertainment Guys. Mark Hoffman and Tom Romano with you. Thanks for coming along. How you doing? Did you wake up and it's been raining last night? How about that? This is quite a change here. How's this working out for you, Mark? You ready for a little moisture out there?
Yeah. November is a pretty quiet month in the tour business, so we don't have... I have a trip going to San Diego tomorrow, and a trip to New York City over Thanksgiving, and that's it for the entire month. So anyway, then our Christmas trips go after that.
Well, speaking of trips and such, you had tour preview day just recently. And then, of course, the Monday and first few days following that is the time that folks call in and they've got the new catalog and they're getting ready to schedule trips. How was the response? How did it go this year?
I really try on this program not to... not to make it an infomercial for Sports Leisure Vacations and to limit the amount of things that we do that are promotional for our company. However, having said that, if people will indulge me just for a moment here, we released our new catalog last Friday at the Sophia. We talked about this last weekend at the Sophia Theater, which I will again plug as a beautiful, beautiful place. Gorgeous theater. You should go. If you haven't been there, you should go. And then on Monday, we opened our phones and our doors, and we were just completely overwhelmed. In 2 days, Tom, I mean, think of this for those of you who own a business out there. In 2 days, we sold one-third of everything we will sell in an entire year. So if you figure there are 250 work days in a year, we sold a third of our product in 2 days. So it was... really busy, and a lot of our customers waited a long time to talk to us and to get what they wanted, and a lot of things sold out very quickly, and not everybody got what they wanted, and I really appreciate their patience, and we're trying to come up with some extra, some doubled trips and things like that, but at least the travel business, at least from the Sports Leisure Vacations standpoint of mature travelers taking package travel trips, is over the top right now. So thank you to our travelers, and also a special thank you to my staff. They worked their buns off. I mean, really, truly worked hard at preview day, and then to get as much stuff done this past week, really, really worked hard. So it takes a village, takes a team, and I have a good one, and some wonderful customers, and so we had a very successful week. Thank you for asking.
Wow. Now, I'm assuming that you don't do people coming to the office and standing outside your door, but fielding phone calls. Is that right?
Yes, they can come and sign up in person. The previous record for people coming to the office to sign up in person was, I think, 14. We had 39 people on come Monday morning. In about an hour's time frame. But we were able to take care of everybody. And again, we have very loyal and very patient customers. And so they understood. Some of them have been through this before. They know it's going to be busy for a while. And if you're persistent, you can get what you want. And so anyways, lots and lots of tours are sold out. If you'd like to get if you're a mature traveler and you'd like to get a copy of the catalog, you can call us Monday or you can go to sportsleisure.com and everything is posted online.
All right. Well, with that being said, let's get to it. What we do here on the radio every Saturday between 11 and 12 is bring you up to date on what's been going on in the travel news. And with today's edition, once again, feverishly working over the travel news and presenting it to you, here is Mark.
Yeah. Takes a few hours every week to gather all this stuff together because it comes from a lot of different places. This is really interesting. If you're an aviation geek like I am, the Department of Transportation announced last week that they're giving grants to, looks like about 15 or 16 communities to help with air service. These are communities that either have no air service or were looking for something above and beyond what they currently have. And in some small communities, no matter how high the airfares, it's not possible to, there's not enough traffic to be able to, for airlines to make a profit. Chico is a perfect example of this. They have previously had flights to San Francisco and maybe even flights to Los Angeles. They got a grant of $1 million last week. And so from what I can see online, they are planning to try to use it to get flights to Los Angeles. They say that L.A. is their furthest away, their furthest destination where that a lot of people come from. They, as opposed to San Francisco, they feel like that with the air service in Sacramento being so good now, that a lot of people just drive down here, but that a flight to Los Angeles or a couple flights a day would give them the chance to connect internationally and stuff like that. Elko, Nevada was another place that came up on the grant list. They currently have one flight a day to Salt Lake City, and they're hoping for another one. And Toledo, Ohio, Medford, Missoula, Montana, Lansing, Michigan, these kinds of places, you know, that are kind of in between. Elko has an interesting thing to it. There is no passenger airport. Elko is the furthest from any in the country from any passenger airport. So it makes logical sense that there would be some service there because there is no airport for two or three hours in each direction. In fact, the people in Elko would like to see service to Reno. Okay, anyway, the aviation geek has had his fix. Might be some service in Chico later next year. The State Department, which has been stepping up its act when it comes to visa applications and passport renewals, vows to add 1 million visa appointments next year above what they did this year. Remember, we talked, Tom, a few months ago about people who might be coming for the World Cup and right. might not be able to get into the country because a year in advance for to get a visa wasn't enough. They're working really hard to get those numbers down. They say now the average wait for a visa is down to 3 months, which is pretty good from 15 months when we last talked about it. So sounds like that they're kind of getting their act together there and helping travelers a little bit. Yay for us. Carnival Cruise Line says that cruising is a good business to be in. They reported their quarter last week with record revenue, record booking volume, and a 30% year-over-year increase in the first quarter of 2024 as opposed to the first quarter of 2023. That would be the fiscal quarter, which would be it, which have started would have started in July. Let's see here. Another hospitality trend on the rise, hotel rooms that go for $1,000 a night. Somebody actually keeps track. Yeah, somebody actually keeps track of this. There were 22 hotels in 2019 before COVID that charged $1,000 a night on the average. This year, there are 80. So I don't know what that really means, except there are a lot more expensive hotels. Some of those are probably worth it. I don't have $1,000 to spend on a hotel room for a night. So I'm a travel guy, so maybe I could mooch one. Or, you know, maybe I could get a quote rate and get it down to like $600-$700, which I still couldn't afford.
So when you travel and you go to New York City and you stay at Madison, you stay on Main Street and in fancy places, what's the most that any of your passengers, your travelers have bellied up to the bar for a room?
Oh, well, New York is kind of an exception because we've worked with a hotel in Times Square there, a Marriott, for like a quarter of a century. And we have rates that I know are off the bottom of the rate card. So that's an example of us, you know, having a connection and being able to get a really good rate. We probably pay $275 a night in Times Square at the Marriott, and the rack rate is probably around $400, and other groups are probably paying around $350. So But the Otisauga up in Cooperstown, really nice hotel up there. That's a $400 a night. I would say a few of the places that we like to splurge in from time to time. You know, our travelers are not rich people. We look for good value. We don't stay in the Motel 6. We rarely stay in a Best Western unless it's the best place in town. But we're looking for, you know, Courtyards, Hilton Garden Inns, places that offer reasonable value to people. But I would say it's not unusual for us to pay in a really, really nice hotel to pay $300 a night.
Okay, so you're still a long ways away from that $1,000 a night.
From that $1,000, yes. Southwest Airlines is bragging this week that they have switched. They are switching to bamboo cups and wood stir sticks. Small things, but the bamboo cups are recyclable. And the wood stir sticks, of course. Someone quickly pointed out online that the bamboo cups have to be coated with something in order to make them viable to use, and that is correct. Right. So they didn't do away with the plastic altogether, but Southwest says that 97.2% of the plastic is gone. So it's, if nothing else, it's a small step in the right direction. United Airlines has put their flight to Greenland. Maybe we talked about this a couple weeks ago. It's on sale now. You can fly from Sacramento to Newark overnight and catch the morning flight to Greenland. You can be in Greenland 14 hours after you leave Sacramento. I want to go. So if there are any sports leisure travelers out there who want to go to Greenland, we'll be asking that question soon. I spent a whole evening last week going down a rabbit hole and just tourism Greenland and all. It's really kind of cool. The thing, though, with Greenland is you got to be flexible, because when you go, even if you go during good, quote, good weather times, it's not unusual for something to happen and there not be any airplanes for a couple of days. So you kind of got to have, but, you know, somebody would say, well, then you wouldn't have any place to stay. And I would say, contrary. But you if no planes are coming in, there's nobody to take your hotel room away from you. So you'll probably be okay and you won't be out on the streets. Anyway, Greenland looks like a really fascinating place. It's only 4 hours from Newark. Go look at the shape of the planet, and it's just above Newfoundland there. It's just a short hop, skip, and a jump from Sacramento, Greenland. It's on my list.
I know how you feel about Newfoundland. I mean, you can do the stop in Newfoundland, hang out there for a little while, and then hop on over to Greenland.
And with the exception of southern Greenland, just remember this little thing to remember. There's Iceland and there's Greenland, okay? Iceland is green. Greenland is ice.
Yeah,
exactly.
That surprises me, because I don't really know you as a cold weather guy.
No, I'm not a cold. It gets up to about 65, 70 in July in Greenland. I probably would try to go. It looked like June would be the best time, maybe, to go kind of the shoulder season. But you know me, I'm an off-the-beaten-track guy. So what could be more off the place, off the beaten track? Let's see. I've learned how to pronounce N-U-U-K. Nuuk. That's Nuuk, Greenland. That's the capital.
Well, there you go.
So if you didn't know that before, you're a smarter traveler. And travel guy is starting to babble here, so let's move on. Europe's secret season for travel is right now. The lowest prices and the comparatively speaking best weather is between about the third week in October and the end of November. So if you've ever wanted to know how to get the very best weather and the best pricing and stuff for Europe, that season is right now. So there's about a 5-week window there. This was, I found, really fascinating. There's an airline executive, Alan Magary, who said no to smoking on planes. He died at the age of 82 last week. He was in charge of Northwest Airlines, and he decided there was a federal ban on short flights on smoking on its way, 2 hours or less. This was in the 80s. And he decided that the heck with it. This is a disgusting habit, and it's not safe. It's not good for people, and we're not going to have smoking on any of our planes starting now. And people said, oh, my God, you'll kill your airline. It'll be the worst thing that ever happened to you. Quite to the contrary. It turned out to be one of the best ideas the man ever had. The rest of the airline world followed in very short order. And no smoking on all types of public transportation became the law within a very short time. But I will suggest to you the fact that this guy stepped up to the plate and was a leader and said, you know, let's just take this a step further right now, probably was a contributing factor to the fact that it became law shortly after that. So anyway, the man who really pioneered, if you like breathing fresh air on public transit and airplanes and the like, then the man who made that all possible passed away last week.
I mean, it's almost impossible to imagine what it would be like, and if you're a non-smoker, to be in an airplane with half the people lighting up. And it was always somewhat curious as to, you knew that you can't smoke on an airplane, but yet for the long time there were those little ashtrays in the arms on the plane. And you kind of go, well, how old is this plane? You haven't been able to smoke on planes for 20 years. Don't they think, can't we just like get rid of this?
All right, I got a couple other things here, but I've babbled so long. If I don't get out of here, we're not going to have time to get our stuff in before the bottom of the hour. I'll save this stuff for the odds and ends portion of the program, and that's your travel news for today.
And we are the Travel Guys, Mark and Tom. Check us out at TravelGuysRadio.com. Well, the holidays are approaching, and you and your office, or for that matter, your family, might be looking for a place to have a holiday banquet, a Christmas dinner, maybe even some Thanksgiving somethings. Well, don't forget our friends at Rudy's Hideaway and Lobster House. They can take care of your catering needs, everything from filet mignon and lobster to hamburgers and hot dogs. They've got a food truck that is just awesome. It can go to your office, park outside. You guys can come on out and enjoy the best of Rudy's. The Rudy's on the roll. You park in your driveway and make it all happen. Their food truck specializes in lobster rolls and filet mignon tacos. If you haven't had one of those, they're great. Stop in during happy hour after 3 and get yourself a filet mignon taco. And never forget about the Travel Guy special, still there for you. 6-ounce lobster tail, only $29.95. Don't forget Rudy's Hideaway, just off Highway 50 at Hazel.
Hey.
All right.
Hey,
yes.
wait, before you go away, yep. I'm going to Rudy's for dinner tomorrow night.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
That might create everybody's going to start booking so that they can kind of catch you.
No autographs.
Are you going?
No autographs, please. No autographs. Well, you've been bugging me to go. I haven't been out there for like 6 months, 8 months, a year, something like that. So anyway, some friends and I are going to Rudy's tomorrow night. See you there.
All right, see you there. I just might have to sneak in and watch you eat. Justine just wished me a belated happy Halloween. So a belated happy Halloween to all of you out there. I'm still suffering from a candy coma here.
Candy coma.
It's when you eat too much. You just sit down with a bucket of candy that was supposed to belong to the kid, and you just eat all the stuff out of it that you like. And
remember, you would go to the store and buy like the what used to be the $4.99 bag of candy, and that same $4.99 bag now is like $17. And
yes, sir.
The little candy bars inside used to be, you know, you figure out they're about 8 cents a piece, and now they're about a quarter a piece. Anyway, I did too much babbling earlier, so we need to not babble.
Look, Mark, I seem to be noticing, and for a good thing, that the passengers, people that fly, there are some rule changes and some things that have been going on that seem to be kind of in favor of us, the consumers, and not just the airlines.
Yeah, well, you know, on this program for a few years, we kind of ragged the current administration, because they were doing a lot of talking and there wasn't a lot of action. You know, the president was talking about junk fees and all that kind of jazz and about how bad they were, but nobody was doing anything. And lo and behold, over the last, I'd say, 3, 4, 5 months here, we've seen a series of things. I guess wheels of government turn slowly, if at all. But the DOT now this week, this new refund rule for air travelers, not only changes the playing field, but it puts the onus on the airlines instead of on the passenger. So let me explain. There are new rules now for refunds in regards to delays of flights and or baggage. So domestic flight is delayed more than 3 hours. Airline owes you a refund, period. They not only owe you a refund, you don't have to ask for it. Now, if the airline gives you another itinerary and you accept it and you're going to get to your destination, then obviously you're not entitled to a refund. But let's pretend for a minute you're at the airport and you're flying Delta, and Delta says, you know, your flight is delayed and it keeps getting pushed back, and you're like, well, I've got to get there for grandma's, you know, surgery tomorrow, and Delta says, well, we can't get you anything else, and they, and you say, well, you know what, I can get a Southwest ticket and fly, so I'm just going to fly Southwest. Well, now Delta, after they hits that 3-hour mark, they owe you a refund. So if you made alternate arrangements, they owe you a refund. Even if the flight goes 4 hours late, they owe you a refund. International is 6 hours. So those are not particularly onerous. I mean, 3 hours for domestic is a long time. 6 hours for international. Delayed, your plane is still at the gate. They have to issue refunds within 7 days for credit cards and 20 days for other forms of payment. It also, this includes checked bags. If your checked baggage on a domestic flight doesn't arrive within, isn't delivered to you within 12 hours of when your plane arrives, you're entitled to the amount that you paid for baggage fees to be refunded. International, the rules are a little bit vague, but it's between 15 and 30 hours, depends on how far you came, because obviously if your bag got left behind in Germany on a nonstop to San Francisco, the next plane might not be until 24 hours later. So that it's a little looser. But the point of all this is that in the old days, you had to go to the airline and say, hey, you know, I want this, and they would argue with you, or they would say, you know, how about a voucher? This is good for 2 years, and you could say, no, I want a refund, and they would say, no, but you get a voucher. And so now this has all been kind of clarified and in favor of the consumer, I would suggest to you, and the airlines are not happy about this and a host of other things that we're going to talk about in our next segment. It wasn't a good week if you were an airline. Because a number of consumer-oriented things came down. The takeaway from all of this is that if you are a consumer and your domestic flight is delayed more than 3 hours or your international flight is delayed more than 6 hours, you have rights you did not have before. And you don't have to accept funny money from an airline. You can get the real deal.
Do you think the airlines is going to just immediately, knowing the rules, just go ahead and tell you they're going to cash you back, or are they going to still try to offer you a voucher?
I think what will happen is, yes, I think they'll offer you a voucher, or I think they may try to adhere for the rules for a while and then try to get away from it as time goes by. But you just have to be smarter travelers. You have to be good consumers.
Mark and Tom, the Travel and Entertainment Guys, brought to you by Sports Leisure Vacations. Mark is dancing in his studio. So, Mark, I'm confused. Is it spring backwards and fall forwards and
fall backwards and spring forward? Oh, good Lord.
What is
spring
now, I don't
forward
even
and fall back.
Okay, fall forward and spring backwards.
No. Spring forward and
spring
fall back. Spring
fall
forward.
Back. Yeah.
You move. Oh, never mind. Just move your clock back an hour before you go to bed tonight.
All right. Have you ever got? Have
never
you ever
mind.
Gotten
I'll,
cotton?
I'll, have, I'll have call you, Mrs. Romano and talk to her about this.
Have you ever been late or early as a result of not setting your clocks? To anything ever?
No, but every once in a while we get caught in the. This happened to Clayton last month. He was going from Montgomery, Alabama, to Atlanta, Georgia. And he was passing from the central time zone into the eastern time zone. And when we had drawn up the itinerary, we didn't realize that or think about it. So the entire second half of his day, he realized 48 hours ahead of time, was an hour off. He wasn't going to be, if he didn't rearrange things, he wasn't going to make it because he was going to cross into the eastern time zone and lose an hour's time, and suddenly it was going to be an hour later. So that has happened to us a couple of times where we didn't realize that a city was in a different time zone, or we didn't think about it. But I don't recall ever being not showing up because of a spring forward, fall back sort of thing. Of course, in the spring, you'd just be an hour early. But in the anyways.
Well, it's much better to be an hour early than an hour late for work because you didn't, you know?
Yeah, no. Yeah, well, it's we're going to confuse this even more and just confuse people worse than it is. But never mind us. Just when you go to bed tonight, just turn your clock back an hour and you'll be fine.
All right. We promised we were going to discuss the dismay of the poor airlines. It's been a bad week for them.
It was just so bad. Terrible. I mean, as we just talked in the Smarter Traveler segment, the the rule is now being enforced, is gone, and it's going to get worse. There's another section of that, I didn't want to confuse people, that hasn't taken effect yet, that's really good for consumers, where if you have a contagious disease, if you go to a doctor and he says you have COVID, you do not need to get on an airplane. And you can document that, and there will be a list of things that they will allow. You can't just have a cold or something like that. Please excuse Susie from PE. But there's going to be a list of things that if you have a contagious disease, you can go to the doctor, you can get documentation, and you can get a refund for your air or a voucher or something to where you wouldn't have to fly. The reason that's important is because, good grief, if we can keep you off the airplane when you're sick, that's kind of a good thing for the rest of us. It might cost the airline a few dollars, but you would hope that they would be in favor of something like that. But they have not. They haven't had a good week, and witness the fact that as the week has gone on, I've been getting more and more press releases from Airlines for America. And if you haven't listened to this program very long, let me just help you out a little bit here. Anytime you see Airlines for America on something, that means that's the airline's lobbying group. So they're not in favor of anything that helps consumers, and they think that all of this stuff that has come down this week is pretty much akin to doomsday. It's the end of the world for them. This will never work, and it's going to just be awful. And what it means is that these people are being held accountable for some of the things that they've just been able to run ragged on in the past. I'm not a big fan of government regulation. But I will tell you, in the travel industry, just like in food consumption and some things, it's really something that really helps consumers. Because otherwise, these folks would just run wild. And witness the fact that they have these rewards programs where they print their own currency and they change the rules whenever they want. And that may be coming to an end soon. There is a new Senate bill in the U.S. Senate that would require airlines to provide a year's notice before reducing the value of loyalty program points. The Protect Your Points Act, introduced by Illinois Senator Dick Durbin, bans airlines from using language in their terms of service for loyalty programs and co-branded credit cards that allow them to make valuation changes without notice. In other words, when you sign on to these things, you agree to the fact that, hey, it was 20,000 miles yesterday, and it's 140,000 miles today, and there isn't anything you can do about it. So just some of that Wild West thing, a Senate bill that might force them to pay attention. The Biden administration launched an investigation into airlines competition, they announced on Monday. This has to do with not only competition, but affordability, pricing of tickets, anti-competitive products, and more. The airlines are really not happy about this, and the U.S. Travel Association, which is kind of disappointing, is not happy with it either. I kind of thought they were on the side of consumers, but maybe not as much as I thought. However, the American Society of Travel Advisors, this is the people who work in travel agencies and help you plan trips, they're ecstatic about it. So what does that tell you? The people on the consumer side of things think it's time that we take a closer look at some of these frequent flyer programs, the way airlines price tickets, etc. As you might guess, Airlines for America thinks it's a horrible idea. Americans count on air travel to visit loved ones, they say. So if you do anything that helps consumers, you must be a bad person. That's what Airlines for America says. However, the rest of the folks seem to be falling in line sort of on our side. Here's another one. Unite Here, a national hospitality labor group with members currently on strike across several U.S. cities for hotels, is calling on state attorneys general to investigate hotel loyalty programs. So again, something where they print their own currency, they change the prices on a daily basis, they have complete control, you have no say whatsoever, and so maybe they will be held accountable for those things. Yes, sir.
Our friend Chris Elliott recently penned, do you believe that any of this stuff is going to stick? Do you really think that the government, especially if there is going to be any changes in the leadership of this country soon, that this is gonna hold, or is this just a temporary thing that we're gonna talk about? And before you know it, it's just back to the same old, same old.
Excellent question.
He feels that it could be in jeopardy as early as January.
I would say that he is correct. Traditionally, Democrats are more friendly towards consumers. Republicans are more friendly towards businesses, traditionally. So we'll see what happens on Tuesday and what happens after that. But I would agree with Chris's evaluation that many of these things are consumer-friendly things that have probably been pushed by a Democratic administration. And some of them will perhaps go away or be lightened or not be enforced, depending on what happens on Tuesday. As someone who travels and owns a travel company, I can just tell you that you have to have some control over these people, because otherwise they are just going to put the screws to you every time you turn around. So how that impacts who wins on Tuesday, I can't predict that. I don't have a whole lot of control that I'm one voter. So we'll see what we know after it happens, whether or not consumers continue to be protected or not. And hopefully, no matter who wins, the Department of Transportation and the Department of Justice and people who could ride herd on these folks and make them follow a set of rules, I don't think it really matters what political team you play for. Whether you're a donkey or an elephant and you go out to the airport and you want to get on an airplane, I think that you want to be treated with fairness and courtesy. Right. And you want the rule, you want to be a set of rules that the airline has to follow if something comes up and everything doesn't go as you anticipated. So I don't think that's political necessarily, but I think the airlines, the side that they line up on is political. And I again remind our listeners that if you see something that comes out commenting from the airlines and it's brought to you by Airlines for America, don't be deceived. That is the airlines lobbying group. All right, a couple of other quick things here before we move on. United Airlines is making some minor changes to their Mileage Plus program in 2025. If you are a road warrior and you are a 1K or a 75,000 miler or even a 50,000 miler, the requirements are going up slightly. You can go to united.com and find a record of it. This came from the blog 1 Mile at a Time. It's they're also are going to give existing members in whatever category that you're in a little bit of a head start jump towards the new, which will offset some of that increase. So basically, the airline, United at least, is trying to have some control on the number of people that reach the higher statuses, so that those statuses have value for the people who do get them. But they are making some changes. A few of them are actually pro flyer. Some of them are, you know, you could say, well, airfares have been inflationary and stuff like that, so raising the number of dollars that you have to spend would be fairly logical. I'm a United guy. I'm not in favor of it because it just means I got to take a couple more flights to keep my status. Here's some good news, and this also comes from United Airlines. They have announced that they have made significant advancement in accessibility initiatives. They started earlier this year. They were the first airline to do some of these things. They have created a tool that allows travelers to use wheelchairs to better match their aircraft selections with the dimensions of their wheelchair. So if you use a wheelchair to get, obviously you're not going to take it down the aisle. You're in an aisle chair for that. But this is a tool that will help. It has been used by more than 20,000 customers since it came into existence. They are the first airline to introduce Braille in aircraft interiors, with a goal to outfit the entire mainline fleet by the end of 2026. They have also upgraded in-flight seatback entertainment systems to include accessible features like closed captioning, text-to-speech controls, and adjustable text options. So United is doing, if you are a traveler that has some disabilities, United is leading the way in trying to do things that will indeed make the skies friendlier for you. So congratulations to United Airlines for taking some fairly major steps, things that cost them money, things that weren't mandated. Good for them in stepping forward to help travelers who have some challenges when they travel.
Again, travelguysradio.com is where you'll find links to our special guests and lists of all the stuff we talk about here on the program. In fact, if you ever thought about being a flight attendant and what that would be like, Wouldn't you like to sit down with flight attendants sometime and say, what's the job like?
Before we get into, we have a funny little bit here about, I hope it's funny, about flight attendants. I wanted to just give a thumbs down. There is a little hotel in Elko, Nevada that deserves a thumbs down mention here on the Travel Guys. And if you ever run into one of these somewhere along the way, you feel free to send us at TravelGuysRadio.com a link, and we will give them a thumbs down on the air. There is a Holiday Inn Express in Elko, Nevada. I went online and then on the phone to verify this, actually, after I saw it. And they are charging a $12.95 nightly energy recovery fee, which does not show up anywhere online. It shows up on your bill when you get ready to check out. $13, it was pointed out by somebody who is in who works for an electric company back east, that $13 worth of energy would probably power that room for somewhere in the neighborhood of 2.5 to 3 weeks, as opposed to one night. And this is in addition to the standard 15% tax. And also this hotel charges a 3% surcharge if you want to use your credit card. So even if you want to use your Holiday Inn credit card.
Whoa.
Yeah. So this is Elko. This is the Holiday Inn Express in Elko, Nevada. Elko's a pretty good-sized town, and there are lots of hotel choices there. So if you can avoid using the Holiday Inn Express and paying the $12.95 nightly energy recovery fee, while you will send a message to them, the best way to vote is with your wallet and your footsies. Just go stay someplace else, you think?
Yeah.
$13 for an energy fee, my goodness. All right, so we talked about flight attendants, and this little piece was called Grounded Advice for Flight Attendant Wannabes. So a bunch of flight attendants put their heads together and came up with a training guide, a tongue-in-cheek training guide, for anyone who's considering a career as a flight attendant and is looking for the adventure of air travel.
There you go. Yeah, and my wife was interested in being a flight attendant when she was younger. She actually went and found out that she was too short.
They used to have very, very strict rules about height and weight and all of that kind of. My guess is that some of that stuff has gone by the way. I'll ask a flight attendant next time I get on an airplane about that. Anyways, they comprise this list of tongue-in-cheek tips for folks who might want to become a flight attendant, and we are going to share some of them with you now.
Okay, well, here's the first one, and this is something, here again, if you're a wannabe flight attendant, you might want to do this.
It's a way to practice.
Give you a feel for what it's like. What you want to do is you want to fill several large boxes with rocks, okay?
Yeah.
Lift them over your head and place them on the top shelf of the closet. Slam the door shut until the boxes fit. Do this until you feel a disc slip in your back.
Or if you want to practice being a flight attendant at home, you can turn on a radio. Be sure to set it between stations so there's plenty of static. Turn on the vacuum cleaner and the garbage disposal and run them all night. Give you an idea of what it's like to be a flight attendant on a plane.
You can place a straight back chair in a closet facing a blank wall. Use a belt to strap yourself into it.
I've always, watching flight attendants sit in that seat, that jump seat, behind the restroom there, Tom. Yeah,
yes.
Straight up. Here's another idea you could do to practice to be a flight attendant. Ask your family to use the bathroom as frequently as possible. Tell them to make splashing water a game and see who can leave the most disgusting mess. Clean the bathroom every hour throughout the night.
Yeah, once again, we are, for you wannabe flight attendants, this is some practices, some things that you can do to see whether you might be suitable, whether this fits you to be a flight attendant. Here we go. Make a narrow aisle between several dining room chairs and then randomly scatter your husband's wingtips and loafers along the way. Turn off the lights and spend the night walking up and down the aisle while banging your shins against the chair legs and tripping over the shoes. Oh, yeah. Drink several cups of cold coffee to keep yourself awake.
Several years ago, says one of the flight attendants in this little group, on a flight out of Denver, my flying partner was half buried in a cart trying to rescue the last few entrees from it. A passenger asked her what she was doing. Without removing her head from the cart, she responded, "I'm looking for the glamour in this job." some of the ways that you could practice to be a flight attendant. I particularly like the one about the box of heavy rocks, lifting it over your head and putting it in a closet, and trying to slam the door until they fit.
And that's just the short list of things that the flight attendants go through. You know, some time ago, we had a gal. I can't recall where we rounded her up, but she was a flight attendant, mm-hmm. and she spent some time with us talking about the ups and downs, if you will, of being a flight attendant. It was always very revealing. So perhaps we can round one up at another time again.
If you're somebody, no matter what your job in the hospitality industry, if you've got some interesting stories to tell, or you're just frustrated, there are some things that you would like to share that people do that drive you crazy, drop us a note at travelguysradio.com and we'll get in touch with you, because we love people who have stories to tell and things like that. After all, we're kind of looking for the story that doesn't get told, you know. And maybe you, as a baggage handler or a gate agent or a hotel front desk person or a housekeeper, maybe you have a couple of tips that might help our listeners be smarter travelers when they're on the road. So we would love to hear from you at travelguysradio.com. It's always fun when we can get somebody as kind of an insider, and you can even come on the air with us if you don't want to be identified. Why, you can be anonymous if you wish. All right, one other cool thing here, Tom, I wanted to talk about for a minute before we go. Since I am a tour operator, this is a tour operator story, and I found this kind of interesting. I've read this a couple times recently, and I admit the reason I find it interesting is because it's something that we realized here at Sports Leisure Vacations a long time ago. And when I say that, at least a couple of decades ago. We noticed that you went out on a tour with 30 people, and 23, 24, 25 of them were women. In many cases, the guys who were along, some of them were there because they wanted to be there, but some of them not so much. In many cases, women who had husbands were traveling without their husband, because their husband, if they knew their wife were going to be in a controlled atmosphere where they would be safe and happy, they were perfectly happy to stay home. So now the husband is happy and the wife is happy. In fact, I've had husbands come to me and say, you know, you're my favorite person on the planet. And I say, why is that? And they say, well, because you take my wife away for 5, 6, 7 days at a time. And he says, she's happy, I'm happy, everybody's happy. So, whether you buy into that or not, there are way more women on package travel tours than there are men. First of all, women outlive men by about 7 years on the average. So right up there, that tells you that there are going to be more senior women than there are senior men. And senior women are much more. We have some senior male travelers at Sports Leisure Vacations, but by and large, our senior travelers, our single travelers, are women. So this company here has decided, this is a comes from a UK website, and they have coined a phrase for these people, for these ladies, older ladies who are traveling by themselves. They call them queenagers. Because they're ladies, and they say they are accomplished women, and they're at the indulgent stage of life, and which they've arrived, and now they are ready to go out and see the world on their own. This is something that women wouldn't have done 50 years ago, but times have changed, and I know that this is a lucrative market because it is the number one market at Sports Leisure Vacations and has been for a long, long time. We realized a long time ago that women, and even in couples that travel, women make 85-90% of the travel decisions. So you really, if you're in my position where your travel product is for mature travelers, you're really marketing to the ladies in the audience and not necessarily to the men. We have a lot fewer aviation and car museums and things that will attract men on our tours. We do still do baseball trips from time to time, but even in those cases, we find that the gender mix tends to run There are more men on baseball trips than on others, but it still tends to run 50-50. On other sightseeing trips and cruises, it's 80 to 90% ladies. So anyway, this company is deciding that, wow, there is this whole new demographic of people out here who are now traveling on their own. So if you are a mature woman and you've been thinking about hitting the road on your own, there are lots and lots of companies. Now there are companies that are creating women-only tours. I will suggest to you that there are many companies like mine who take out groups of people that are 80, 90% women, where the itineraries are slanted towards the requests of female travelers. So just kind of an interesting thing that the rest of the world is discovering, that all of a sudden there are all these single older ladies who want to travel. Yeah, there we are. They've been there for a long time.
Yeah, queenagers.
Queenagers. I don't know if there I like that word or not, but it's different at least.
Well, it's fascinating, fascinating. Well, there you go.
There
another edition of the Travel Guys in the books. Don't forget to visit us at TravelGuysRadio.com. And we're here every Saturday between 11 and 12, and always podcasts at our website.
You betcha. Remember, dance like nobody's watching. We'll see you next Saturday at 11 o'clock.